Authoritarian Sociopathy, Toward a Renegade Psychological Experiment, written by Davi Barker, narrated by Daryl W. Perry, published by Free Press Publications. We believe that copying is a form of flattery and do not abide by the copyright laws. Those laws serve to restrict the flow of ideas which no one can really own. Copying is an act of love. Love is not subject to law. Dedicated to Rodney King, the Weaver family, Luis Rodriguez, Kelly Thomas, Otto Zim, John T. Williams, Catherine Johnston, Kenneth Chamberlain Sr., Amadou Diallo, Ayana Jones, Robert Saylor, Kenneth Michael Trentadu, Javier Ovando, Oscar Grant, Ibrahim Todashev, Donald Scott, Imam Lukman, Fred Hampton, Scott Olson, and the memory of all whose lives were interrupted by police militarization. Statement by the author. In 2013, at the 10th Annual Porcupine Freedom Festival, Porkfest X, I participated in a contest called the Agorist Pitch. Agorism is a species of market activism where people trade voluntarily in an untaxed, unregulated counter-economy to avoid faceless corporations and intrusive bureaucracies. Agorist philosophy holds all coercion and fraud as moral evils and aims at manifesting a society where all coercive relationships are replaced with consensual ones. I took first place with the idea of conducting a renegade psychological experiment on obedience to authority, specifically into police brutality. What the audience didn't know is that I was so nervous that I felt I was going to throw up the whole time. The contest was organized by Taryn Lupo, author of Pirates of Savannah. The first place prize was an ounce of gold donated by Tim Fry of Roberts & Roberts Brokerage. The second place prize was $1,000 in Bitcoin donated by Eric Voorhees from Coinapult. When I heard that, I joked that I would rather have the Bitcoin instead of the gold, and based on the current spot price of both commodities, the contestant that took the Bitcoin did much better financially. But this was not simply an ounce of gold. It was a 2006 Norfed Liberty dollar, which, as far as I'm concerned, is a priceless heirloom of the freedom movement. The Liberty Dollar was a privately minted medallion that was used by precious metal enthusiasts as a barter currency. In 2007, after 10 years of legitimate business, the headquarters and mint of the Liberty Dollar was raided by the FBI, who seized over 16,000 pounds of precious metal, an estimated $7 million value at the time. The monetary architect of the Liberty Dollar, Bernard von Nothaus, was convicted on multiple counterfeiting-related charges, interestingly, nothing related to fraud, and conspiracy against the United States. U.S. Attorney Ann Tompkins stated, "Attempts to undermine the legitimate currency of this country are simply a unique form of domestic terrorism." The quote was repeated in the press release of the FBI's Charlotte, North Carolina office. Tompkins went on to say that Nothaus's activities did not involve violence, but they represented a clear and present danger to the economic stability of this country. Nothaus did not force anyone to accept his coins, and he did not lie to anyone about what he was selling. For many, the shuttering of the Liberty Dollar was another example of the coercive force necessary to maintain the dollar's global hegemony, but to me, it was something more. It was a symptom of the increasing militarization of the American government. The idea for the pitch struck me the moment Taryn told me about the contest. So, when I went on stage, the concept was only about 48 hours old. As I watched the other contestants, I was so nervous that I was shaking. My guts were tied in knots. My friend Will Coley brought me a bowl of beef stew, but I honestly felt like I would be sick if I ate anything of substance. Instead, I drank all of the broth, thinking it would settle my stomach. As I took the stage, my heart was pounding and my throat was dry. But once it was time to speak, a sense of calm washed over me. Given my state, I am amazed that my delivery was as good as it was. While it was happening, I felt more like a spectator myself, like an out-of-body experience. I felt like a medium for the idea as it manifested itself. That kind of peak tranquility is something I've only experienced a handful of times in my life, and always when I'm doing something more important than I realize at the time. In hindsight, this experience certainly fits the bill. Once I'd finished, I had too much nervous energy to sit still for the rest of the pitches. My heart didn't stop pounding until I walked all the way back to my campsite and I could sit and compose myself. Suddenly, I was ravenous with hunger. After I ate, I went back to the pavilion to hear them announce the winners. I was not surprised to win first place. I was confident that this idea deserved to win from the moment it came to me because it is bigger than me. After the contest, I was struck with a kind of terror as the size and importance of the project came into view. I had no idea how to actually proceed. I felt accountable to the audience and the judges to actually do it, but I also knew I could not do this alone. I'm a writer, a merchant, an artist, and a speaker. Unfortunately, I am not a psychologist. So, I began the process of consulting with scientists and ethicists in the freedom movement. Because of the numismatic value, I kept the gold Liberty Dollar as my prize, but in exchange, I sold a gold Krugerrand from my own savings to cover travel expenses as I presented the idea to a larger audience. In the ensuing months, I presented the design of the experiment at Libertopia in San Diego, California, Freedom Summit in Phoenix, Arizona, Liberty Forum in Nashua, New Hampshire, and then again at Alt Expo in Nashua, New Hampshire. After each presentation, the suggestions and feedback of the audience enabled me to improve the design of the experiment. Concerns raised by commenters at one event would be remedied by a commenter at another. Weaknesses that I admitted in my presentation were resolved by the collaborative genius of the crowd, and experts came forward to work with me until they could assure me the design was both ethical and scientifically rigorous. This is the fifth draft of the design for a renegade psychological experiment on obedience to authority, specifically on police brutality. But by all means, this is not a final draft. If you, dear listener, are a scientist, psychologist, ethicist, or even an activist who's interested in supporting this important work, please feel free to get in contact with me using the contact information provided for this audiobook. In addition, this is open source material. Feel free to copy and distribute it at will.